Twitter has blocked and unblocked hundreds of accounts in India in recent weeks. The tech company is caught in the middle of a dispute between the government there and its critics, in this case farmers who've been leading anti-government protests. In a moment, we'll hear more about how the social network is trying to expand while staying true to its stated values of free expression and human rights. First, NPR's Lauren Freyer has this report from Mumbai.
Down with Prime Minister Modi's bad government, Indian farmers chanted this week, as they have been for months. They're protesting three new laws that deregulate Indian agriculture. It's quite technical, about pricing at wholesale vegetable markets. But after clashes broke out last month between protesters and police, the rhetoric got heated. People were tweeting hashtags about genocide against farmers. The Indian government ordered Twitter to block hundreds of accounts, including that of The Caravan, an investigative magazine.
Caravan did not use any of those hashtags that the government was taking objection to.
Editor Vinod Jose was never told why his magazine's account was suspended. But the Indian government has not been pleased with its coverage of farmer protests. It filed a sedition case against Jose and arrested one of his reporters. Still, Jose was surprised, because Twitter says it values an open internet and free expression. It acted against disinformation when it suspended former President Trump's account.
But when it came to India, it was a surprise as well as a shock to see such an important social media company actually getting bullied here. What happens to your stated policies and values and what you stand for?
After an outcry over press freedom, Twitter reinstated The Caravan's account in less than a day. It kept some others blocked, though, and it took what it calls a range of actions against more than 500 accounts and reduced the visibility of some hashtags. Twitter says it has complied with Indian law, but the government still served it with a non-compliance notice last week.
It depends on how you read the law. But I think that's a pretty difficult position to be in.
Lawyer Radhika Jalani volunteers with the Software Freedom Law Center in New Delhi. She says Indian law bans speech that's defamatory or incites violence.
So basically, if the government of India sends Twitter a notice that say this is defamatory content or this is insightful speech, the platform is bound to take it down.
Platforms don't have much choice. India can jail their employees for up to 7 years or shut them down altogether. Last year, India banned the Chinese video app TikTok amid a border dispute with Beijing.
Chahe wo Twitter ho, chahe wo Facebook ho, chahe wo LinkedIn ho ya koi ho.
Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, you're welcome to make money here, India's IT minister Ravi Shankar Prasad told Parliament last week. But you have to follow Indian law, he said. The Indian government is particularly touchy about criticism from foreign companies, even celebrities. It lashed out when climate activist Greta Thunberg, pop star Rihanna, and the U.S. vice president's niece, Mina Harris, all tweeted support for farmer protests.
Foreign destructive ideology.
Foreign destructive ideology is what Prime Minister Modi called it in Parliament. So that's the mood here, as Twitter challenges the Indian government over its own laws. Jalani, the lawyer, explains what's at stake.
Definitely your right to dissent, your right to freedom of speech and expression, your right to, you know, access content, basically all the rights that make you a democracy.
India has slipped in global rankings of tolerance and pluralism. The question is whether tech companies like Twitter are willing to look past that, to do business in this market of nearly 1.4 billion people. Lauren Freyer, NPR News, Mumbai.
All right. Well, for more on this dilemma facing Twitter in India, we're going to turn now to NPR tech correspondent Shannon Bond. Hey, Shannon.
Hey, Elsa.
So it sounds like this standoff is a really complicated situation for Twitter. What exactly is the company saying about all this?
Right. So Twitter is emphasizing, you know, it has complied with some of this order from the Indian government to block accounts, as Lauren reported. Mm-hmm. But Twitter also says, you know, it won't take down other accounts. So specifically journalists, activists and politicians. That's why it put back up the Caravan's account. Because Twitter says that complying with the government ministry's order in those cases would actually violate Indian law and Twitter's own principles of free expression. So this is a really difficult balance, I think, that Twitter is trying to strike here. I think it's resisting being used as a tool of the government against critics. It's also worried about its employees in India, that they could face jail time. And of course, India is a huge, important market. Remember, Elsa, many U.S. tech companies like Twitter, Facebook, they're blocked in China. Mm-hmm. They see India as a big opportunity to get billions more people using their platforms. But they were just seeing how difficult it is to navigate these sort of competing pressures around the world.
What do you mean by that? What are the competing pressures?
Well, I think we know, you know, we've seen over the last decade, social media is this powerful tool. It's given people who didn't have a lot of power a voice, a way to organize. But at the same time, it's also become an incredibly important platform for people in power. Think about Donald Trump, right? He had a huge Twitter following before Twitter banned him for breaking its rules against inciting violence and spreading false election fraud claims. And actually, now that Trump's banned, India's Prime Minister Narendra Modi, he's now the world leader with the most Twitter followers. Oh. And we are increasingly seeing governments like Modi's in India, like in Turkey, that are putting pressure on Twitter to remove speech that they don't like, that the government doesn't like. And that puts Twitter in a difficult position. You know, what happens when free speech and human rights clashes with these local laws?
Right. And we heard from Lauren Freyer that some people in India are saying Twitter is getting bullied by Modi's government, but that Twitter was willing to stand up to Trump here in the U.S. And all of that raises the question, can Twitter have like a one-size-fits-all policy for every country? It doesn't sound like it can.
That's the exact dilemma I think Twitter is grappling with. And that's because it's basically become, you know, whether it's wanted to or not, this gatekeeper of public conversation. I spoke with David Kaye. He's a law professor at the University of California, Irvine. He was the UN Special Rapporteur on Freedom of Expression. Here's what he said.
How do we make sense of companies that have such enormous power that they can stand up to governments and serve as a kind of protector of rights? But at the same time, they have this massive impact that can undermine democratic institutions.
And what Kay says is, you know, look, a company like Twitter has so much control. Sometimes it can feel like it's acting like a government, but it's not democratically elected. We don't have a lot of transparency, a good view into how it decides what to allow, what to take down. And I think whether you agree or disagree with Twitter about these decisions, about Trump, about activists and journalists in India, there's a bigger question, which is, should Twitter have that kind of power at all?
Right. Okay. So what happens next with Twitter in India?
Well, the Indian government ministry still does want Twitter to take down these accounts. That standoff is continuing. Twitter says it's exploring its options under Indian law. There was a meeting between Twitter officials and the government last week. Didn't appear to make any progress. One potential outcome is maybe this could go to the Indian courts. The law professor David Kaye I spoke with, he said that might be an appropriate way to decide whether this order is legal or if, as Twitter is arguing, it goes against Indian law.
That is NPR's Shannon Bond. Thank you, Shannon.
Thank you.